Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. A few weeks ago, we read this passage as we considered a part one. So we're going to continue by looking at part two, Matthew 6, starting at verse 25 and reading to the end of the chapter. Last time was more why we're anxious. And here we find further teaching reasons why we should not be anxious, reasons not to be anxious. So this is Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And as far as we're reading here in Matthew 6, I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these verses together. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you will remember from a few weeks ago, anxiety is a crippling fear. It causes our hearts to race, our minds to become so distracted that we can't make decisions. It is paralyzing in many ways, and yet anxiety is both unnecessary and it is useless. It is not needed, and it does us no good. Anxiety doesn't help. In fact, it makes things worse. It adds a burden to our hearts. There are things that change in our hearts, in our focus, in our attention when we are anxious. So before we start, I want to give you three reasons or three consequences of being anxious. Three consequences. The first consequence is when we are anxious, we become distracted. We become distracted from our communion with God. The second consequence is we start to doubt God's promises concerning the future. And the third consequence is we forget what God has done in the past. And yet we know when we are filled with anxiety, worry, and fear, we are responding as the world responds. We're responding from a heart that is forgetting, is not remembering, and is doubting. So in order to counteract this, Jesus gives us three repeated commands. If you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 25, 31, and 34. It is a command given to us by Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, telling his sheep, don't be anxious. Don't be so worried. Don't be so troubled. Don't let your heart become so distracted that you forget what is true. In order to help you battle that anxiety, last time, so a couple weeks ago, we saw Jesus gave us three tools to battle our anxiety. The first tool, and this directly corresponds to the consequence of anxiety. So if, as I said a couple minutes ago, if when we are anxious, the first thing is we start to become distracted from our communion with God. The first thing that suffers with anxiety is our prayers. So what is the first solution? The first solution is cast your cares on the Lord. Recommit yourself to prayer. The second consequence of anxiety is that we are filled with troubles and worries. We doubt God's promises concerning the future. So the second solution is counteract weak faith with strong faith. Trust his promises. Declare your confidence in him and in his word. The third consequence of anxiety was we forget what God has done in the past. So the third solution is remember what God has done in the past. Give yourself a history lesson. Remember how God has provided for you thus far, what he has already done for you in the past as you look to the future. Well, today as we return to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus continues to give us further reasons, additional reasons why we should not be known as anxious people. Now, there are many reasons why we are anxious. We're anxious about our health. We're anxious about things that are unknown. We're anxious about finances. We're anxious about relationships. We're anxious about things that might be. We're anxious about things that probably never will be. We're anxious about a whole host of things. But our theme today is this. Jesus calms our anxious fears by reminding us of God's constant care. Jesus calms our anxious fears by reminding us of God's constant care. In our first point, then, Jesus takes us by the hand and brings us back to creation. Jesus says, look around. Consider the world in which you live. Consider creation that your Father has made. Remember who God is. Look at his works. He is the loving provider, and he cares for the things that he has made. In Psalm 8, we are told to consider the sun, moon, and stars which God has made. Well, today, Jesus is bringing it much closer than the sun, moon, and stars. It's walk out your front door and look at these creatures. Verse 26, consider the birds. Look at the birds of the heavens. What is a bird worth? What is a sparrow worth? Well, a sparrow is sold for a few pennies. Birds like sparrows and swallows are abundant. They are all around us. And yet, even though these birds are abundant and worth very little, insignificant, notice how God grandly, richly, abundantly provides for all these things. God feeds to each bird its bug or seed that is necessary. There are 43 different species of sparrow, and yet everyone finds its food from the open hand of a loving heavenly Father. Our God gives to each one their daily bread. So consider the birds of the heavens. Also, verse 28, consider the grass of the field. Consider how God covers the grass of the field and the lilies of the field. How much is grass worth? Children, perhaps your father has fired up the lawnmower this past week. Did your dad weep over the grass that was being cut? What is the worth of grass? How about the lilies of the field or the flowers that grow in the grass? Over the next few weeks, I imagine there will be many dandelions that are found in our lawns. And there are some parents who have even said to their children, I will give you a penny for every dandelion flower that you gather and bring to me. And yet these flowers are so common, and yet they are of little worth in our eyes. But God causes every one of them to grow. God plants everyone by hand. And the Lord here, Jesus Christ, says, when you look at the flowers that God fills the fields with, how marvelous their beauty is, that God takes the grass and he arranges the grass with the flowers of the field. Even Solomon, in all his glory, was nothing like the glory of a flower in the field. These flowers are so small, so insignificant, here one moment and gone the next, like morning glories that wither away when the heat of the sun falls upon them. And yet God graciously pours out his beauty upon the grass of the field. And even if you travel to remote places and you find these that no human will ever see, why does God plant flowers in places that no human will ever see? What is the beauty of what is the point of wasted beauty in creation? And yet God so graciously shows his power and his provision. So Jesus Christ says, "Come, let us reason together. Do the birds worry about their food? Children, do birds build barns? Do birds sow and gather the grain into storehouses? And yet God provides for all of these. What about the grass of the field? Does the grass of the field have anxiety for how it will look? Does one flower covet the beauty of another flower? Do flowers gather thread and weave garments for them to wear? Do flowers sew and spin for their covering? If God so clothes the grass of the field and feeds the birds of the air, will he neglect to provide food and clothing for you? Will he neglect to care for those whom he has made in his own image? Food and clothing are a necessary part of our life, and they are promised to us by God, and we are called to pray for these things when we pray, 'Give us this day our daily bread.' Yet how much of our time is not wasted in worrying about food or clothing or shelter or health or provision or work or all of these things from our daily lives?" Our reading from Luke chapter 10 illustrates this point. Here with Mary and Martha. Martha was busy with her life, busy doing with the things that were good and necessary, getting the house ready for the guests, getting the food so that everything would be necessary, nothing would be missing. She is busy, and the Lord even says she is anxious and troubled with her anxious care. And then you have Mary sitting at the feet of her master. Martha anxious and troubled, Mary in peace and calm heart. Mary had chosen the better portion. Martha was lovingly rebuked for being so busy with the things of this world that she had missed the great blessing of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, that is not to say that we should not worry about preparing food and taking care of the things in the home. But when it comes to choosing what is the best, what is the most important, we can easily get caught up in the busy things of taking care of the things of this world that we forget the reason behind our service. Jesus says life is more important than clothing. There is a higher priority and pressing need here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Store up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Would we work, would we store, would we worry, would we fear, would we fret for the things of this world to gather ourselves a nest that is well padded and yet lose our very souls? So Jesus says, consider creation. Stop and consider. Who takes care of all these things? Look at the birds of the heavens and the flowers of the field. Jesus Christ is making the argument from the lesser to the greater. If God takes care of these birds that are worth a few pennies and these dandelions in the field that are insignificant and the grass that is cut and thrown away, if God takes care of these things, do you think he would neglect to take care of you? Would he forsake mankind, which is the head, the crown of creation? Would he neglect to give food, clothing, shelter, health to his people whom he has already purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? He has already paid the greatest price for you. Will he then neglect to give you these earthly things? If your heavenly Father has already in his love sent his Son to secure your salvation, will he neglect to give food and clothing and shelter to those who are his adopted children. Surely he will not. Well, now that we have considered creation, Jesus builds upon this argument by saying not only should we look at creation and see how God takes care of the things of this world, he is going to show us that anxiety is in itself unnecessary and futile. It's not needed and it does you no good. Verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? Worrying about something doesn't help. It adds nothing. Anxiety actually makes things worse because it fills your mind with things that are counterproductive. Worrying cannot make you taller. Worrying cannot be worn like clothes. Anxiety cannot add to your net worth. Your troubled fears cannot pay your bills. You can't eat anxiety. In fact, it only makes things worse because it adds a burden, an unnecessary burden, to your shoulders. It's futile to worry about things that you can't change and that you have no power to alter. Added to this, your life is secure. Not only can your worry not change anything, your life is already in the hands of a heavenly Father, and it is secure.